Yeah, so things are a little different today. As we are in a series about adulting, we want to acknowledge that the world happens to kids. The world shapes what immature people do. The world controls the life and the rhythm of someone who doesn't have the maturity to take control themselves. Rhythm is an important part of music. And so, you know, we have this music going, and what I want you to appreciate, something I want you to listen for in the music, is that there is rhythm, there is time. There are times where there's a higher sound, and there's times where there's rest. God has designed for us to live with rhythm. In 6 days, He created all of creation, and on the seventh day, He rested. And He said, this is a pattern that I've set for you. This is a command that I give to you. This is a gift I've provided for you. That 24 hours of every week is to be used for stopping, resting, listening, appreciating God's creation, appreciating who He is, and remembering that the universe is going to be just fine if we unplug from it for 24 hours. Now, if you imagine what that really means in your life, if you imagine what are the noises in your life, what are the patterns in your life that are causing you to feel out of step, out of rhythm? What if you took a 24-hour period and rested from everything you consider to be work? You would have to change your schedule. You would have to take some control over your life rather than just letting the demands around you be in control of you. You might have to turn your phone off. Can you imagine if your phone was shut off for 24 hours? Would you make it? Would you be all right? If you didn't check email for 24 hours, do you believe God could handle it? So there is rhythm to life. And then there are dynamics. You can hear as we play these tunes, there are times where instruments will drop out. There are times where voices will get louder and voices will get quieter. We need those kind of dynamics throughout our day. We need to have times of quiet. We can see in Scripture, Daniel was someone who had a regular pattern of prayer where he would go away from everybody. He would find a quiet place and pray throughout the day at different points, scheduled times, predictable times that he would unplug and pray. Jesus often would retreat from the crowds. He would find quiet. He would find seclusion. And he would pray. There's something that monks have done for hundreds of years that has become known as the daily office. We think of office, we think of a place of work. That's because the Latin root for the word office is work. The daily office, though, as these disciples, these monks have operated it, is a time for God to work on them. Different scheduled times throughout the day to have quiet, to unplug. When I was working a corporate job, people would do this. They wouldn't do it necessarily to connect with God. They called it a smoke break. It's a situation where you feel this such a compulsion that you can't get done your regular work until you step out, separate yourself from that work. And I'm not advocating smoking, you understand. I'm saying that we are to have such a connection with our Lord, such a love for God, such a passion for Him, such an understanding what it means to abide in Christ, such an understanding what it means that indeed He is the breath in our lungs, that we need to go to Him, that we need to refresh in Him throughout the day, and to the extent that we don't, we're going to be out of rhythm. The harmony in our lives will be gone. To the extent that we abide in Christ, to the extent that we let God do work in our lives, that we quiet ourselves, that we center ourselves, that we shut out the world around us and remember there is a God who is creator, who loves us. There is a God who created us to be like Him, to be creative, to have an impact on the world around us, not to have the world impact us to the point that we're out of shape. We were created in His image. And if we're to have an impact on the world, we need to remember the One in whose image we were created. We need rhythm. We need dynamics. We need rest. We need seclusion. We need quiet in our lives. We need to schedule it in our lives. This is part of maturing. This is part of what adults do. Rather than letting the world happen to them, they follow the command of God, who, when He created human beings, He said, have dominion over the world. Go forth, be fruitful, multiply, do good things in the world. Do not be conformed to the world. In order to let that happen, we need times of rest. So that's what today is about. It's a gift, a quiet morning for us. I'm going to invite my friend Carrie to come up and join us around the fire. Carrie, we arranged for you to sing a solo, right? I've asked a couple of people today to, in the spirit of a campfire, to share a little bit about their story. So Carrie graciously agreed to share a little bit of her story with us. So let's welcome Carrie Litzer.
So yes, Pastor asked me this last week to share a little bit, so I wrote it all out so I won't stumble and forget what I wanted to tell y'all. But good morning, everyone. Pastor asked me this last week if I would be willing to share a story, short story, of how God has been at work in my life. To start, my name is Carrie. Some of you know me, as I've been here since the church began over 10 years ago. There were several of us that banded together to begin a church in the Weston area. I was part of the team that had the opportunity to interview Pastor Aaron, who I've known since he was a teenager and had really long curly hair. And we called him to be the pastor. I can remember talking with him and Michelle about a name for a church that would stand for what we desired to see happen. Drawing people that had possibly given up on religion, but weren't ready to give up on God. We wanted to be a church that helped people draw near to Him in relationship. New Day became a church, and it grew quickly those first few years. We saw baptisms, the planting of new churches, and the growth of small groups. However, the enemy, Satan, wasn't happy. As I was praying on Thursday night about sharing with you today, my reading of God's word was in Luke 4. It spoke of Jesus being baptized, being led into the wilderness for 40 days, and being tempted by the devil during this time. I've read these verses many, many times in the past and never really noticed verse 13. It says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. I never really thought of Christ being tempted as we are. I figured, you know, he was tempted for 40 days, long enough, in the wilderness. And other than maybe in Gethsemane, he, as God the man, managed to avoid any major temptation. The phrase, though, stuck with me. He left him until the next opportunity. So it seemed to be with myself and some of those I started this New Day journey with. We were committed Christians, and yet we were human.
Satan used the opportunities that came when we were busy, pressured, overwhelmed, feeling anxiety or feeling very alone. Many times we think that once we become a new creation in Him, the worst is over. We say we will never go back to our old life or give in to the sinful nature we have as humans. Unfortunately, when we're making strides for the kingdom, Satan's attacks are even stronger than when we were not a believer in Christ.
Okay, this part I need to say. And so Satan found a way. Several in that beginning group left the church after a time. There was addiction, suicide, leaving for an alternative lifestyle, personality conflicts, and divorce, all putting a huge dent in the witness we as Christians are to be to the world outside and for the health of our immediate church family. Today I want to admit that a portion of that blame falls directly at my feet. I want to apologize to my family here for allowing Satan a foothold in my life. I'm very sorry to all of you. We metaphorically speak of mountaintops and valley experiences. It has been approximately 5 years of walking in the spiritual valley, always knowing, however, that God was near and would be with me. He's a good, good father. I purposely asked to be removed from any leadership or service positions within the church at the time of the divorce so as not to cause further disruption to New Day's ministry. Slowly, however, I have begun to find ways to serve again, helping with projects within the small group I've been a part of. Thank you to Dennis and Paula for inviting me to join in. Helping the Volkers lead the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University group, and most recently being the church's Timothy for Revive Wisconsin. For Revive, we have attempted to match folks with our church, within our church, that are willing to disciple another person who has accepted Christ through our Revive outreaches. Today, however, I would like to invite anyone that feels they need to connect with another person of faith to contact me, and I will pair them up with someone. Hebrews 4:15 states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." I'm so thankful for Christ's example that Satan took every opportunity to trip him up, and yet he stayed true to his Father. I'm also thankful that the Father included the stories of others in the scriptures. We have heard many of these stories through recent sermons that Pastor Aaron has given. Stories like those of David, who began well, fell, and then through repentance, finished the race. Those stories give hope and confirm God's love for us. My hope and prayer is that I can finish the race well. Paul states in Philippians 3:13-14, "But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." As I picture the end of the race, I can visualize God standing at heaven's gate, smiling and high-fiving us as we come through, whether first place, 50th place, or last place. Let's keep on running, church family. There's much to be accomplished, but don't get so busy, like Pastor was saying, don't get so busy that you do not take time out to develop and continue the love relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. In closing, I would like to share the chorus lyrics to what had been our theme song when we first started the church. And you guessed it, the name was New Day. It's a new day, oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way I'm going to live my life. All the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day, an hour and minute. I'm looking forward to seeing what God has planned for this new day in our church history. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who transforms, who does give a new day, who does give new life, and also a God who restores, a God who gives hope, a God who has grace enough to forgive us when we fall, a God who has strength enough to pick us up. God, I pray that we would know you, that we would love you, that we would be so connected to you that we wouldn't fall into temptation, and yet when we do, that it wouldn't be so hard because we're holding on to you. God, be the breath in our lungs, and let us pour out our praise to you together. Amen.
As we're singing through this song, and I'm thinking about what Carrie was saying, I remember a retreat that we had before we launched this church, and we have pictures of people who were part of that launch team. They were sitting on benches around a fire. We have a picture of those folks, and I remember a couple of years ago looking at that picture and just seeing what Carrie was talking about, seeing the attack and seeing here's a relationship that went down in flames. Here's somebody who lost their life to mental illness. Here's another divorce. And it is like, it was a testament to spiritual warfare to look at that picture and to think through how much good has been done in this situation and by those people, and how the devil hates it. If you're going to step out in faith, the pressure is on. A lot of us are going to be watching basketball, are watching basketball currently. And it isn't when the offense has a basketball on the opposite side of the court that the pressure is on them. It's when they get closer to making a basket, it's when they get closer to actually being a threat, that the defense gets on them, that fouls start happening. If you're going to step out in faith, you've got to know there will be challenges, and they are going to be in your weakest areas, because the devil picks on disciples of Jesus who are willing to step out. If you're just a lukewarm Christian, and you're just going through the motions, you might have a really good, comfortable life with very little impact for the kingdom. And the devil is fine with that. Go ahead and call yourself a Christian, as long as you don't do anything about it. If you're going to start changing your schedule, though, in order to spend time with God, you're going to start hearing and sensing from him a direction, and you're going to start getting the courage to follow that direction. And as you follow that direction, the pressure will come. The pressure will come. Thank God that his grace is sufficient for the times that we fail. I'm so glad to see you here this morning. I'm going to invite another friend of mine who has felt pressure, who has felt challenges, who has experienced hardship, and yet is willing to come up here and share his story, not so that we can congratulate and applaud him, but so that he can give honor to God. Craig, would you come up? And as Carrie talked about being a Timothy, someone who sets up, in Scripture, Paul was a mentor to Timothy. She helps set people up with mentors. And months ago, Craig had asked me if I would sit down with him, if I would go through some scripture with him, if I would help him come closer to God. And it's been neat to see over the last few months what the relationship that God has been. We've known each other for years, Craig, but and the ways that you have flipped the script a little bit and become a mentor to me in areas of my life. Craig is he's a wise man, and I'm so glad, Craig, that you're willing to share your story.
Thanks. As Aaron said, my name is Craig, and I'll be talking about how that I know that God is working in my life. But in order to do that, I have to give you just a little bit of background. On Christmas night 2016, after being sick for about a day or so, or maybe a little longer, and not really listening to my wife, Jane, who's right out there and is the love of my life, I went into the hospital finally. We had been visiting my parents in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I had participated in Christmas festivities in a very low-key way, Christmas Eve in Appleton and then also in Kenosha. Finally, that night, I did go into the hospital, and when I got there, I wound up having multiple seizures, stopped breathing, had a breathing tube put in, and wound up in a coma for 4 days. I didn't know it was 4 days. I woke up and said, I have a meeting today. He said, you missed that a few days ago. The doctor said that if I had not come in that night, and it was about 9 o'clock and I was ready to go to bed, that I probably wouldn't have woken up that next morning. I was diagnosed with viral meningitis and encephalitis. Encephalitis is a disease that scars the brain, and it does permanent damage. I was off work for quite a while, and some of you may know that I'm an educator. I was a teacher for 14 years, I was a principal for 16 years, and then I became the director of elementary education for the DC Everest School District, and also the principal at Hatley Elementary School over the last couple years. My passion was educating kids, it was being around kids, being around teachers. And after being off for a while and then coming back, I discovered that the damage to the frontal lobe of my brain was too much, and I wasn't able to do my job. And I sunk pretty low. It was pretty tough. All the dreams of retirement, the things that I was going to do, my income, all those things, and also just a sense of loss of worth. And I had great support from the school district. As a matter of fact, I was sitting out with they would invite me to lunch or to breakfast, and I went to breakfast with a fellow administrator, and he, and we were there, we ran into Aaron, and Aaron was talking to him, and that's the story that he's told several times about saying, can I pray for something for you? And he prayed, he asked for mental health. And then after, I stopped by Aaron and said, Aaron, you're just the person I've been thinking about calling and wanting to call. You see, we had started at New Day, but then we just started to explore and think about what we really wanted in a church and where we wanted to be. We liked New Day, but we thought we'd, and then exploring almost led sometimes to not going. So that did happen. So when I ran into Aaron, I said, I've been going to a counselor, and I said, what I want to have happen is I want to feel God. I've grown up in the church. I've always believed in God. I never had a doubt in God. And I said, I want to feel God the way you do. I want to feel it. I think it has to do with those words Aaron's talked about, spiritual Christianity, not just going to church out of obligation and those. And I went all my life. So he said, hey, why don't, and I said, I also never truly have read the Bible. I've read it as a kid. I've gone through passages. I hear a lot, but I never really read it. And he said, why don't we meet every Thursday here? And I said, I would. And so Aaron and I started meeting on Thursdays, and we would read a Bible chapter a week, and then we would discuss it and talk about it and talk about how it applied. And it was just wonderful. My wife and I started coming back to New Day. It was the place I felt that spiritual Christianity. It was a long, hard year, that 2017, as I tried to adjust and get those things going. But the thing Jane and I both kept saying is, Christmas 2017 is going to be a whole heck of a lot better. I'll even remember it. 2 weeks before Christmas, we had a knock at the door, and at the door were two policemen, and they told me that they had a message from Menasha that my son, Tim, who is 28 years old, had been in an accident with a train, and they couldn't tell me anymore. He was at Theta Care in Menasha. We drove down there, and we got there, and he had been in surgery, and they came out and basically said that Tim was brain dead. But we wanted to keep him alive so he could have organ donations that could go to many different people. We had a hospital vigil for several days and just waiting. It was hard to walk into the room because it was the way I looked a year ago, sitting probably, I didn't see me, but for Jane and anybody else to look, it was the way I looked. Tim died, and his organs were transplanted into about 7 or 8 different people, and we just got another letter yesterday about that. So Christmas wasn't any better than I thought it was going to be. Tim was, and a lot of times I have a hard time saying was, Tim is my best buddy. Pastor Aaron did the service. So many people from this church, so many people in the community have been there for me and have really, and I have great support from family and from friends, and so I'm a very, very lucky person. I have tremendous support from my small group. I feel like the sermons about Job and the suffering and the pain and different things are talking right to me. And I never ask the question, why me? I never asked that. And honestly and truly, and it doesn't mean I'm a better person than anybody else, I was never angry at God. How this ties into how does God fit work in my life? How do I see he worked in my life? God brought me back to this church. He brought me to a place where I love reading scripture. I love going to church. I love going to small group. I love, one of the side effects of encephalitis is that you don't sleep much. I couldn't read, I couldn't watch TV. So nights were very, very, very long. So what I did most of the night, and again, I don't want to wake my wife who has to go to work. She'd sit up and talk with me. But what I did was I talked to God, and I'd sit in the dark and just talk. And I love the way Aaron had said that the way we talk to God should be just there. And I just said it to God. God, I surrender to you. And I asked Aaron weekly to pray for me that I would continue that, because sometimes, knowing me, I would probably try to fix it. I could do this if I do this and if I do this. But I had to say to Aaron, keep praying to surrender to me. But I think there was a reason that God, that to show that God is working in my life. I have, like I said, the tremendous support I have, but I could not have done it without God. And I don't think I had that spiritual relationship that Aaron talks about until this, and I think God led me to that, to handle this, to be able to, I shouldn't say handle it, I don't handle it. It allowed me to live with it and to search and to be with God. So I think, for whatever, I don't think it is just this coincidence that I ran into Aaron that day, that I wanted to come back to New Day, that I knew it was the place I needed to be, that I started reading the Bible and really hearing the words. I think God prepared me for that. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks. God, thank you. Thank you for making us yours. God, thank you for being mine. Thank you for being ours. Thank you for giving us the privilege, the opportunity, the honor of being able to say, we are children of God. We are citizens of heaven. We are his people. He is our God. God, thank you for the gift of rest. Thank you for the gift of work. I pray that we would be mature disciples who would live with a balance, a rhythm in our lives, that we would indeed seek you, that we would find times with you that we'd never want to end.
that we would take those little moments during the day to praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.